Blog Talk Radio.
Oh. Tune in each week to Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, hosted by Author James T. Deshay. Tune in and dial in Tuesday, 6 p.m., 657-383-0309, Thursday, 6 p.m., 347-855-8867, and Saturdays, 8 p.m., 657-383-0309, all times Eastern. James is the author of Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, and also Passion, Desire, and Contemplation. We talk about everything that's happening in our world, anything that impacts the lives of our listeners. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, email us at djames82@aol.com or call 407-394-9819 for more information. That's Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, heard here on your favorite radio station, Never Had It So Good, Sports Media Network.
Welcome, everyone. This is your host, James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. I am having an outstanding week. I've been given the opportunity to come and talk to you every day because it is my anniversary week, and I'm just having a great time, and I really appreciate those of you who've been hanging out with me this week and just enjoying the conversation and the back and forth, and I hope that we can continue to do that. No matter what my schedule becomes, I want to know that you're out there listening and we're having an opportunity to share our views and our opinions in a way that enlightens others and inspires people to come on and let's just have a good conversation. You know, we need to be in a position where we can talk to each other, motivate each other, and keep us interested in what's going on in our world and our society so that we can make a difference. And I've always told you that my show is here to give people an opportunity to have their voices heard, to give people an opportunity to share what they're out there doing. There's some people out there doing some marvelous things who are ahead of the game, ahead of the curve, and we need to give them all the assistance that we can. That is what was given to me, and I appreciate it, and I want to be that same type of person. I want you to be able to reach out to me and tell me what you're doing, and I want to give you some opportunities to share with others what you're doing so we can impact the world. It's not just about our immediate surroundings. We have to make a difference in the world, and the world is becoming smaller because of the Internet, and we have to take advantage of that. And I just want to say I'm here to do that for you. So anytime you want to reach out to me and ask me for an opportunity to come on the show and talk about what it is you're doing, I want you to feel comfortable doing that because I'm here for that reason. My show is here to give people a voice and let us know what's going on, and so we can talk about how we can make a difference in our society. And today is no different. I'm going to speak to a gentleman who I recently met, and he has been a blessing to me, and I want to be a blessing to him. And he's doing some things, and we want to talk about what it is that he's doing and what his mission is and the direction he's planning on going. Stephen Broward, are you out there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. You are a new author, a new publisher of a new book. Why don't you give us a little insight into what your book is about and where people can get your book and what it is your mission is in regards to this new career that you are stepping out on.
Okay. And I just want to start off saying that you know, people like me appreciate people like you who understand where you came from and the opportunities you was given in the struggle and the journey itself. So, you know, in order to reach out your hand to me, I sincerely appreciate that. But
no problem. I want you to be successful in your journey, and you know, we'll learn to help each other. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, like you said, one hand washes the other.
Yeah, correct.
but I'm the publisher of Heat Block Publications. My name is Stephen Browder, and I'm also an author, and I just released a debut psych thriller called Every Ounce You Got to Give, which is available now on Kindle for $2.99, which is a pretty good price for a novel of this quality. And if you're a Kindle Unlimited user, you'd be able to go in there and read it for free, maybe add it to your shopping cart, share it with your friends if you like it. And hopefully my goal is for you still to download it and add it to your library, because it's unlike anything that you ever read out here. And it focuses on a gentleman named Saint. And Saint is like he's a very intelligent guy who studies psychology and sociology at Clemson University. And what he does is he uses all of the knowledge as well as his natural sadistic side in order to kind of manipulate women and pretty much get them to fold to his will until he gets them to the point where they're totally dependent on him. And then he start inducing them into self-defeating acts in order to prove their loyalty to him. And that's pretty much
now. How long have you been writing this book?
Well, it took me approximately about 6 months to write this book, but I've been writing for 12 years. I've been at it for a while. And I've been offered contracts from different publishers, but none of them really were up to par because I didn't really have a name for myself. So I decided that I needed to learn everything about this publishing business. And that's what led me to the formation of this company, Heat Block Publications.
So do you intend to make this a series? Will this book be a series of different books?
No, this right here will be a standalone. Everything I write is standalone. Now if demand calls for it, I could always add a sequel later down the line, but I always like to create a complete book. I don't like to write books that's pieces of a book and put them out. Not that I'm not anybody that do, but that's just not my style. So
right.
This is a standalone novel, and hopefully it's out here for everybody's enjoyment. So support the movement, and there's many more to come to follow this one. I have about 7 novels already ready to go that I'm going to put final touches to, and I strategically release them into the market.
Well, Stephen, let me just ask this. What is your thought on the fact that is there a book in everybody? Do you think everybody needs to delve in their spirit and see what it is that their creator has put inside of them?
Oh, yes. I definitely believe everyone has a story to tell. But when it comes to actually writing the book, I think that if you want to tell that story and you want the masses to accept that story, you definitely need to take the time to develop yourself, to learn this craft. Because it's not everybody has a story, but everybody's not going to understand your story if it's not delivered or packaged the right way. So I definitely believe everybody has a story, but it definitely takes a passion to actually take the time to really learn this craft, because there's times you might have to write a book. You've been wrote a whole book and it didn't come out how you like. You had to scrap that whole book and start over. You got to have that type of passion with the writing in order to make that happen.
All right. Well, we're going to have you come back and talk to us at another time. I just wanted to give you a little bit of time to introduce your book. Now, I want you to take a couple more minutes again and tell everybody exactly where they can go get your book. And I want to call you guys to action. You know, one of the things that I'm going to do on my show is there's always going to be a call to action, and we want to support the people who come on my show and, you know, go and purchase this book and support Stephen and just let other people know that we are willing to support people who are willing to support us. And I appreciate his support, so I'd like you to extend your hand of support to him. So, Stephen, one more time before we go into our show today, let them know exactly where they can get your book and how much it'll cost.
Okay, the book is available right now on Kindle, on Amazon, if you get Amazon Kindle for $2.99. If you're a KU user, you can go on there and read it for free and share it, but it'll still be $2.99 to purchase it and add it to your library. Now, I do have a promotion running in early July. For the people who, you know, might be on a budget who's not willing to go out there now, I will probably discount it a little bit for like a three-day period. But hopefully everybody will be induced to spend the little $2.99 for the book. But if you want to see more information, I have book trailers and stuff. you can come on Facebook and follow me at Stephen Browder, Browder, B-R-O-W-D-E-R, or you can go on Instagram at Browder Stephen, or Twitter, Browder underscore Stephen. And I also have a website, StephenJBrowder.wordpress.com, and I'm getting the blog started, so feel free to send me emails, and I have no problem subscribing whoever's interested into this new blog that I'm about to start.
All right. Stephen, I want to thank you for coming on, and we're going to take a short, quick break, and when we come out of the break, we're going to go ahead and get started on our program today. And again, I tell you guys, I'm so excited about being able to come to you every day. Every time I get more and more time with you, my spirit just goes higher and higher. So I just thank everybody for this opportunity to speak with you every day. And we're going to take a short break, and we're going to come right back and get into our subject for today.
This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection. Just a thought. Just know you can ring my bell anytime. I will have an extra key under the welcome mat just for you. Life is about knowing what makes you smile, even when you can't have a slice. This is James T. Deshay, Thoughts, Love, and Reflections. Call in anytime at 657-383-0309. 6 p.m. all this week.
Swiffer Sweeper cleans so completely, you'll never go back to your old broom again.
Now a song for Mary from a Mr. Broom.
Sweepers redesigned to clean corners, and it traps and locks 50% more dirt, dust, and hair than a broom. So go all the way clean. New Swiffer. Clean better or your money back. Guaranteed.
You know, some people live their lives stereotypes that other people give them. And one of the things you have to understand is when people create stereotypes, they use just a little bit of truth to create a total package of unbelievable information. And so we have to get to the point where we establish who we are and where we're going without being encouraged by the stereotypes that are created by others. So I wanted to talk today about stereotypes and how do we get beyond those stereotypes so that we create a true value, a true existence of who we are and who the people are that we interact with. And so that's what today is about. I want to talk about a few of the stereotypes that exist related to black men and African-American women and just see what it is that, you know, is it something that we truly believe, something that we live our lives by, or is it just something that people say and sometimes we give value to it without truly understanding the danger of giving value to negative stereotypes. Certainly, we all are living in what is called a reality. And certainly, and that means to me is that when you're living in reality, you certainly shouldn't use stereotypes to impact that reality, that you should search for yourself to know what the truth is outside of what people just bombard you with to be the what is normal and real. And so that's what I want to talk about today is talk about what it is that is true outside of the stereotypes that the media give us, okay? One of them is why is it so many African-American women believe that black men are only interested in white females? That has seemed to be something that's caught on a great deal. And so one of the things I did was I went and Googled what percentage of black African-American men are married to white females. And what I found out when I Googled that number, that there's less than 20% of African-American men who are actually involved or married to white females. But you would think that this was a trend because there seems to be so many people who want to believe that successful black men and black all black men are somehow chasing after other races, which is not the case. And certainly I'm not one of those people who believe there's something wrong if a man happens to fall in love with someone outside his race. That's up to him, and that goes the same for women too. But to suggest that somehow or another African-American men have closed their eyes to the beauty and uniqueness of African-American women to the point that we're only focused on women, white women, just seems to be just a fair indication of what really is true. So I just want to talk to you all about, you know, are you a part of the group of people who are taking that stereotype and making it a reality? Are you clear, or you do have your understanding that the that reality or that stereotype has no validity and truth? We're going to go to the phones. 3766, are you out there? 3766, are you out there?
Yes, I am.
What is your take on that? I mean, what is your stance? I'm sure you've heard many of the stereotypes that are constantly bombarding us as a society. And what is your thoughts on somehow that African-American men have just decided that they're leaving their African-American female and just going on to other races?
I really don't believe that that is an overall truth. I believe that people are trying to remain within their race and to find love within their race, and because of unfortunate circumstances, they may become disillusioned and not have such good situations that have happened with them by dating within their race. So then they decide that they will at least be open to dating outside of the race. I don't believe that the majority of the people actually go and search for someone outside of their race, but they become open to that option.
Well, you know, sometimes, though, I think that we've had such a broad brush or a ugly picture painted in that situation. One of the things I look at is at African-American professionals, you know, at one point it was stated that you know, all the black professional men were marrying white women. And then I look at the case where the two top players in the NBA are both married to black females, and they are both focused, featured. But then the whole the NBA as a whole is predominantly black, and I bet you most of those predominantly black players are married to black females, if they're married at all. But yet the story out there, whether we know it or not, it suggests otherwise.
When you think of African American men going and marrying white female, I think that, as I've said before, a lot of times our focus is off. We are focusing on the white women when you have a lot of Hispanic women, Asian women, also coming into the picture and coming into the focus and catching the black man's eye. And I've seen a lot of that happening lately also. I think there's more interracial dating among all of the races, not just the black and the white race.
And I think you're right. I think you're really right. I think there's more willingness to date outside one's race and possibly marry outside of one's race. But I don't necessarily believe there is a mad dash to run away from the, you know, the quality and uniqueness of the African American woman. Stay there. Don't go anywhere. Let's give everybody a chance to chime in on this. 1958, are you out there? 1958.
Hello, this is Kathy from California. I'm here.
How you doing, Kathy? Now, you're out there in California, Kathy, and you know that people are doing all kind of things out on the West Coast. What is your take on this? Do you think the stereotype that people are trying to suggest that African American men are running away from their uniqueness and blessing of African American women, or is that just a stereotype that too often too many people are believing?
I think it's just a stereotype that's out in the media and that everybody is believing. I mean, it seems like everything that comes on the media, you know, we as people, we grasp it and that's what we run with. Because I have 3-4 brothers and they're all married to African-American women. I have friends, I do have some interracial friends, but the majority of them are married to their own race. So I think that's just something that's out there and circulating in the world.
Yeah, and that's one of the things, Kathy, don't you think we have to be prepared and willing to fight for and stop suggesting having people believe in these stereotypes? Because it can be a very painful thing if you have too many people buying in to a stereotype to the point that it affects reality. Just like I stated, you know, you have Stephen Curry, who's very proud of his wife and his children. You got LeBron James, who's married and has a few children now, and these people are highlighted. And I bet you that vast majority of the NBA and all the other sports too are married to African, you know, African Americans are married to African Americans, but yet it's not stated that way.
Yeah, because that's what the media wants. That's what that's what they want everybody to perceive, that that's what's going on, that that the African American men are going after other races. But I don't think that's true. I mean, if someone is connected to someone, then so be it, and then they get together and live happily ever after. But there are a lot of African-American men who are with African-American women. Look at Will Smith and Jada. Look at Magic and Cookie. Look at Jay-Z and Beyonce. I mean, I'm talking about around in this surrounding place in California. So, I mean, the men are representing, meaning that they are with African-American women. So that's just another stereotype out there that some people that are followers are following that trend and saying that and talking about that and having a party about that and bashing on the black men because they say that most of the black men are going to other races, but that's not altogether true.
And I have to tell you, when I see Stephen Curry loving on his little girl and being a great dad, and you see people like LeBron James loving his boys, and the list goes on and on and it just does your heart good because, you know, there's such an ugly stereotype about how African Americans don't love their kids, the deadbeat dad. And I think that we need to spend some time fighting these stereotypes instead of just letting them exist without anyone going up against them.
Absolutely. Just like you're doing with the show, we're talking about it. We're saying, hey, that's not true. So if there are people out there that's listening, they can say, hey, well, you know, I heard from this person in this area and that person and that. Hey, maybe that's just something that's being said over the airwaves. It always has to be true, everything that's being spoken over the airwaves, okay?
Yeah, and I can't begin to tell you that I know that not one point in my life had I ever thought that there was anything disgraceful about the African-American woman, that she's always been a treasure in my eyes. And certainly I have not seen, you know, the brotherhood that is around me to think otherwise. Stay on the line, Kathy, and I got a few other callers. I want to give them an opportunity to chime in, but I'm just glad you're out there to support me. 3127, chime in on this thing about the stereotype and what your thoughts are related to this thing that people believe about African-American men somehow are ready and prepared to run away from their beautiful queens.
Yeah, it's Steve still. But I decided to listen into the show. But the way I feel about this right here is, what I look at is like, I can see why some black men date white women because, like, you know, if you grew up and you listen to the King mantra, when you judge somebody by the content they carry and not the color of their skin, a lot of parents reinforce that lesson and raise their children to believe that, you know, somebody, a good person is a good person no matter what race. And a lot of them, you know, we're an integrated society like that. So you know, a lot of them come up that way not really thinking nothing of it. But me, myself, I prefer to bring my sisters up with me. But, you know, I don't knock anybody that does. But by all means, I do not feel that most black men look outside of their race. I feel like, you know, a lot of times it's an issue of where you grew up at. You know, did you grow up somewhere where you was around predominantly whites or mingled type population, or were you mostly around your own? So I think that plays a factor too.
And I think you're right. I mean, you can't. There are people now that we've integrated who find themselves in situations where they're predominantly around a different race of people, and that might lend itself to them feeling comfortable around those individuals. When you take people like Tiger Woods, who lived most of his life and his career around people who weren't of color, and maybe he just found a comfort level with those individuals. But I don't think that it has anything to do with the vast majority of African-American men and the way they live their lives.
No.
But I want to help people understand, it's not that I'm a racist or I think that black men who are committed to their African-American women are racist. I think that a lot of it's about comfort level. You feeling comfortable about those people having your back, and any other time when you go outside of your race, you're a little skeptical about what kind of commitment you're going to be accepted or have when you venture out like that.
Exactly.
So it's important for us to recognize, but we need to call it what it is and make sure that we don't disregard the commitment that the men have. Let's go to 2730. 2730, are you out there?
Okay. Yes, this is Audrey from Lakeland, Florida. I do a generational increase in interracial relations and marriages, and I also feel that it's just part of the community in which you are in. I agree with someone who said earlier, it's just, again, what your exposure level is. I think a lot of times now that blacks have had an opportunity to explore and experience different positions and different opportunities when compared to previous generations, they now are around more people of interracial descent. So I view it as an increase of interracial relationships. I think the first caller said some of the reasons that people may start to view interracial relationships more openly is based upon the experiences that they have had within their race. And they feel that, you know, they didn't achieve what they were looking for and it didn't end the way they had hoped for. And so now they start to see, yeah, it's something that I would that was just never heard of. And I think young people now are just, again, they're just more open to easily feeling comfortable if that's the way you want to view it. But I would challenge you whenever you're in a common area, whether it's the airport or the mall or whatever, and you compare 2016 even to 5 years ago, 2011, I think that you would notice that it's more interracial and not just black and white. Someone mentioned that earlier, which is true, but you're talking about the Hispanic background, the Native American backgrounds. You just look, and there's an increase. Not that someone may purposely have, that's my goal, no, but there is an increase of interracial relationships.
And I don't necessarily think that the increase of interracial relationship, no matter what those relationships might be, is a bad thing. But what I think is that we need to get rid of the stereotypes that men who may be looking outside of the race is looking outside of it because of some negative thought that they may have gotten in their minds. We have to realize we have to guard our society and guard our future from the ugliness that people may try to induce into our spirits and into our thoughts. That's what the real problem is. I mean, certainly there are bad people in all races of people, but when you try to suggest that there is a pattern or a trait in one group of women versus another group of women, I think that's where the evil comes into play. And see, we just have to realize that if you meet someone and you feel comfortable with them, then there's no reason for you not to go after that type of relationship. But certainly that does not take away from the treasure that exists and the uniqueness that exists in a beautiful and outstanding African-American woman.
But I agree with the qualities of an African-American woman being clean. But again, I'm just saying what the reality is. There is an increase. And whether it's based on stereotypes or just comfort level or whatever the case may be. And I agree we have to instill values of showing and sharing what the strength of the black woman is. Because some of the qualities I think that some of the younger generations look for, I don't think they understand the heritage and the history and the strength of the black American woman. And I think a lot of that may be influenced by whether it's social media, entertainment, or whatever the case may be, because we as a culture have to stop allowing our black women to be degraded, from every opportunity, because that has an influence what a person will select. If they're hearing that, you know, black females are called negative names and just low-rated, surely when they go to select a mate, that's part of their influence. That's something I'm going to move forward with. And it surely isn't true, but it is a reality for some.
Well, one of the things that we have to implant in everybody, and I mean all mothers and fathers throughout the world, need to implant a respect for humanity and a respect for people in general. I think a lot of the stereotypes are introduced to us to suggest the negative things that exist in the different races of people. You know, and so you have this thing where you have both African-American men and women who sometimes find themselves going outside of their race because of these negative things that they just have come to believe and believe with all their minds and their hearts and their spirits. Kathy, are you still out there? 1958, are you still out there?
Yes, I'm here.
So, Kathy, what do you think about, well, how do we protect ourselves from these negative stereotypes that seep into to the hearts of people to the degree that they live their lives related to what it is that they believe in connection with these stereotypes?
Well, just like we're doing right here, we have open forums. We talk about it. You know, just because we heard something on the radio or in a conversation with people, you know, you get together and you start talking about it. And like the last caller was talking about in the airports and, you know, to see the racial couples and it is escalating. So, you know, we talk about it. So now that's an eye-opener for me. I mean, you know, I see a lot of, I see a lot of African-American couples, you know, but I see a lot of racial couples too. So, you know, it's there, but as you said, you pulled it up, you looked it up, and that's the statistics. And statistics are usually wrong. They're, you know, they don't give all the information. They give some of the information. So when you come together, you know, you can talk about these things, and then now, you know, my eyebrows are open to, you know, as I look around to see these things. But just to say, I mean, it's like my son. I have a son that's 27, and he only dates outside of our race. But, you know, at one time I asked him why. He said because the African-American women don't want to talk to him, but the other races will talk to him. So, you know, it just depends on the person and the personality of the person and, you know, if they're approachable, if the women allow the men to approach them, if the women allow the men and the men allow the women to approach them. It depends, you know.
Well, I think you're so right. One of the things, though, I wanted to be able to do is for us to have our eyes fully open to making sure that we understand that this thought process related to men, because it goes to the same thing when I look at, I went online and I, you know, they talk about how African-American men don't want to work. And then I saw that only 9.5% of black unemployment. And I thought to myself, well, if you even raise that to 20% black male unemployment, that still means that 80% of men get up every morning and they go to work and they make a living and they make things happen. And sometimes I think we're so focused on the small percentages that we want to make the small percentages the reality. And that's just not the case. And so that's my fight. My fight is about when you go out there and you survey men, of what are the majority of men of color saying about their African-American queens, and what are the majority of women saying about their African-American kings? And that's what we should be highlighting, and that's what we should be promoting, and not the other way around.
Absolutely. And I think instead of us tearing the African American men as an African American woman, as far as us tearing the African American man down, we need to build them up. Let them know, hey, you can do you can do anything. Like the young man who just wrote the book or have several books in process. I mean, that's a great thing, brother. Keep doing it. You know, keep striving. I mean, we need to build one another up. We need to let one another know that we have each other's back and that you can do great things. Just tell each other you can do great things today. Going to be a good day, you know, even with the hard times, even with the struggles, even if you didn't get that job. But we need, as a people, to build one another up instead of tearing one another down.
You are so right, Kathy. Let me go back to another one I call us, 3766. Are you still out there? 3766.
Yes, I'm here.
All right. Now, what do you say about all that you've heard?
A lot of things have been coming to my mind, but one thing specifically came to mind when you talk about why. And I don't want your show to go. That could be a whole topic of a show. And I can only speak for me specifically in that I have recently dated outside of my race. And I did that after an African-American man told me that I falsely, or they'd ask me a question and I'd start going really into whatever the question was, just going really deep. And on the same, with the same notion in mind of having a conversation or someone asking my opinion on something, when I give my opinion, the African-American man thought I was digging too deep, whereas the Caucasian man relished my thinking process. And that made me feel more comfortable being with someone who appreciated my thought process more so than telling me, oh, you, every time I talk to you, you got to go in. You got to dig real deep. So there are reasons why people date outside of their races. That was my specific reason, being on a different level thought process with someone. And it just so happened to have been a Caucasian man. It could have been an African-American guy who appreciated the way I think. But it just so happened that after that incident occurred, it was someone of another race that showed me that I was appreciated. And everybody wants to feel appreciated. So a lot goes into people dating whoever they choose to date, not just specifically outside of the race, but whomever they choose to date. And if it happens outside of the race, then so be it.
And I think that's what we need to be aware of, and that don't think of it as not such a negative thing, because I don't think that it is what you want to fight is a stereotype that suggests that you can't find something uniquely special or something to treasure in an African-American woman. That's what I want to fight against, not necessarily that if there is a guy or a woman who wants to venture outside their race, as though there's something wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with it either way, but you don't want it to be done because of some negative stereotype that has no value in the truth of it. Let's go back to the one man that I know that's out there with me. 3127, are you still there? You know, one of the things I want to guard against is young men. I know that as a older man, I want to make sure that the young men and the young women don't get, I think we use the term, jaded, and start to feel as though there's something uniquely amiss with their race of people that guides them outside of that. Audrey, what do you think about that? One 9 5 8. Are you there?
This is Kathy.
Okay, Kathy. Let me pose that question to you. Do you think young people might get jaded by some of these stereotypes and find themselves committed to one direction because of the media and them buying into this jadedness of what their race is like?
No, because the young people are the young adult people, they're more open. They talk more about issues and things. So if they're feeling a certain kind of way, they're going to talk about it. As for the generations before them, you know, we're a little bit more laid back where we some things we don't discuss. But the younger people, they talk about it. If they're feeling some kind of way, they will express their feelings. So if they're thinking that I lost my thought process. If they're thinking that something is going on within the race, or you know, they're feeling like you said jaded, then they will talk about it amongst one another, and then they'll bring it up and they'll express themselves and talk about it so that they can clear the air on whatever it is that's going on at that particular time. Because I watch them, you know, I'm around young people all the time, so I watch them, and they don't hold back.
Well, I hope that is the case, because we need to, maybe they need to influence the older generation so that we can combat these stereotypes. Because one of the things I want you all to know is that I want to combat all stereotypes that suggest somehow that any race of people has some downside to it. I want us to love each other just because that's what we do, is we love everybody. I'm not a racist. I may be pro-African-American because I am African-American, but it does not mean that I have a downside of a hateful feeling for any other race of people. 2730, are you still there? 2730. 2730.
Hey, he just introduces.
All right. But one of the things I want us to do is just make sure that we're willing and prepared to speak up against all stereotypes that try to condemn us as a race of people. We're going to take a short break and come back and finish up the show. But we want to make sure that our efforts are such that we always praise. Okay, 2730, you there?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm here.
What are your thoughts related to whether or not we need to put forth a strong effort to denounce the stereotypes that will somehow always put down African-American men and African-American women?
I think we have to just start the communication and keep it consistent. And when examples are provided, let that be the dialogue, because until it's brought to your attention, like you say, you're just going to go with what society, the media, statistics may share with you. However, when you see the examples of couples together and can identify some of the qualities that is working well for both of them, I think you start that communication to help reinforce that and get input. You know, as the young lady mentioned that her brother or son date outside the race because of the fact that he from his perspective, black females wouldn't talk to him. Again, what opportunity do we have such that we can help him to promote how to encourage black women to talk to him? And again, you know, the white females, oftentimes they are trained or their focus or their strategy is to seek black men. So while black women may want to talk to the young man or whatever, it may be that the white females are just so upfront and prevalent that a lot of times the sisters may not have a chance. So you ask for the action, identify opportunities for us to start the dialogue and just reinforce some of the positive that's available, and address each individual need or want or desire what they're seeking. That's where we could start.
All right. Well, I just wanted to suggest to you that we need to, from up front, recognize that stereotypes are inherently evil. Very seldom are stereotypes used to encourage people. Most of the time they're used to put individuals and races of people down, and we shouldn't use them as a way of dealing with reality, and no matter who it is addressed to. And certainly we're in this time where we need to show a lot of respect and a lot of appreciation for all kinds of groups of people and show a lot of love and appreciation for humanity. It's just that's the way it should be. I'm going to take a short break, and I'm going to come back and end the show. We're going to take a short break. I just love the fact that you guys have been calling in and really being a part of the show. I do want to try to give 3127 an opportunity to chime in and say a few more things before we leave. Stephen, are you out there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, Stephen, give us your thoughts on it and kind of sum it up for us. And then I'm going to close out the show.
Okay. Well, as far as I agree with the lady. I also want to thank her for giving me praise with the books and everything. But as far as the opportunities, I think that the whole thing comes from if you look at TV now, you could just see pretty much young guys disrespecting black women, whether it's videos or whatever the case is. So if you take that same young lady and she comes in an environment where it's a white or Puerto Rican guy and he's treating her like the queen that she was raised to be, then she's probably going to side with him. So I think a lot of times the oldest is on us to treat each other with the proper amount of respect.
And I think that is exactly what it boils down to. We need to learn to respect each other and appreciate the differences in each other, but realizing that African American women are uniquely special, made for us as African American men, and we need to appreciate them and respect them, and in turn, they need to know that we're there for them as well. So we have to kind of just get away from the few oddities that happen when men drift away from their race and not think of that as somehow a trend, because the true desire is for us just to find someone who has our back, and they have, and we got their back. And I just believe that African-American women have been there for us from the beginning, and
exactly.
They can be there for us in the end.
I agree, brother, wholeheartedly. Until we
all
come
right.
together.
Go ahead.
Oh, you go ahead. Oh, no, you go ahead. I know you. I said, until we come together
right,
and
well,
show each other proper amount of respect.
Guys, okay. I just want to say, you guys, I appreciate y'all so much calling in and chiming in and supporting the conversation, supporting the show. And I look forward to, again, being here as often as I'm blessed to be. We'll be here all this week. Every day, and so I'll be back with you tomorrow at 6 p.m. And I'm just ready and willing to just share the conversation and continue the journey. Whatever amount of time I'm blessed to be with you guys or to be on the air is what I'll be appreciating. But I just love how you've supported me throughout this first year, and I'm definitely looking forward to year number two. So take care, everybody. This is your host, James T. DeShave, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. Take care and see you on tomorrow at 6 p.m.
Oh. Tune in each week to Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, hosted by author James T. DeShave. Tune in and dial in Tuesday, 6 p.m., 657-383-0309, Thursday, 6 p.m., 347-855-8867, and Saturdays, 8 p.m., 657-383-0309, all times Eastern. James is the author of Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, and also Passion, Desire, and Contemplation. We talk about everything that's happening in our world, anything that impacts the lives of our listeners. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, email us at djames82@aol.com or call 407-394-9819 for more information. That's Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, heard here on your favorite radio station, Never Had It So Good, Sports Media Network.